The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to December 2007.
The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. Ah, yes, the University of Detroit Mercy Chorale from back in the day in 1995, bringing good cheer here to the studios today for another session of Ask the Professor, the show, of course, where you match holiday wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed but festive session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have the three wise people with us around the table. So let me introduce our Magi panel to you. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, paroled from being its chair and hopefully going to get some research leave time, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
I brought the frankincense stein.
Excellent, excellent. And that would be a great holiday present to find out that you got that leave, dog.
Except I won't know till mid-January, but close enough.
Okay.
That's fine.
Right. Well, if we had Vicki here, she could tell us about the Orthodox calendar, and maybe it might roll over a little Christmas past Epiphany.
We'll go celebrate.
Absolutely. And sitting next to Beth on the same side of the table, from the College of Engineering and Science, the person who coordinates its pre-college engineering program, it's Dan, the DAPSEP man, Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
And you'll get a break from the kids over
Christmas. Yes, I was going to say we've been done for a month now.
That's okay. That still doesn't take away from being the DAPSEP man.
Being mid-December and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I get a break soon.
When do the kids come back in January after the new year, or...?
No. The young DAPSEP students will be back in March.
Okay. A long holiday for them.
My DAPSEP students. I don't know about your DAPSEP students.
Your DAPSEP students. There we go. And on the other side of the table, the chair of the history department and the keeper of our Black Abolitionist Archives, it's Professor Roy Fingenbein.
Hey, Kathy. Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you.
That carol of the bells brought back fond memories when I was in middle school. My mother, despite my lack of musical talent, made me be in the
she made you sing and you've never recovered.
Choir. And the director, who was a very, very lovely woman, had this habit that she wanted everybody at some point during the year to do a solo or part of a duet or something. And she couldn't figure out anything to do with myself and another male voice. And so we were the bong at the end of Carol of the Bells. That was the only solo she would allow us to have.
Well, there's nothing like being a bong, you know?
Yeah.
That's okay. I remember my sister Anne actually played the Blessed Mother in a nativity play. And I will always, till the day I die, remember that it was Joey Schmidt who had to wear the donkey outfit that Anne rode on his back. And he never forgot it either, poor soul. It was very, very strange. I guess, but... There's some kind of learning experience that goes on through your bong or the donkey, something like that. All right. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about donkeys, bongs, holidays, all kinds of stuff, frankincense, myrrh, whatever you want. And if you win, you'll get the special holiday package of a fabulous T-shirt. Or if you don't stump the panel, you still get the shirt. So how can you get the shirt? By sending us some questions. And you may send those in any number of ways. Send them to our website, which is www.udmercy.edu/ATP for Ask the Prof. You can even fax a professor at area code 313-993-1266. Those faxes will pile up during the holidays, but that's okay. We'll be back on the 4th of January to gather them up. Or you may also send them through the U.S. Postal Service to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols in Detroit, Michigan, 48221. And, of course, because it's Christmas, we've heard from our favorite Christmas contributor, Holly Berry. Not to be confused with Halle Berry.
Right.
This is Holly Berry.
Can I add a correction?
Absolutely.
On the previous show, Jeff and I think, stated that the Philippines, remember the Philippines question?
Yes.
It is not in the Southern Hemisphere. It actually is, in fact, in the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay. Well, thank you for
before
that correction.
Before we get nasty letters.
Or before we have school children flunking a geography quiz.
Or school children saying, hey. Yeah. It's very close to the equator, but still north of.
Well, Holly sends us questions that deal with a number of different holiday traditions.
Cool.
Some of them deal with how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Right on.
The 12 gifts that my true love gave to me. And then some, holiday songs and songs that were number one on the Billboard chart on Christmas Day. So these are a really interesting group of questions.
Cool.
So we'll start off with the first of the Grinch that Stole Christmas has now become an American classic.
Mm-hmm.
You've all seen it, I assume?
I watch it every Christmas
Eve.
Yeah,
okay.
Both versions.
Well, yes, that's true. That's right. I forgot about that, Roy. Thank you. There are 14 objects that the Grinch stole at Christmas. Can you name any of those 14?
Well, he steals the roast beast.
Yes.
Yes, you got to say roast
Even
beast.
Even stole the roast
yeah,
beast.
Yeah, Even
steals
stole.
The trees. He steals
the bulb.
The wreaths, the ornaments.
Whoa, hold on. Okay, whoa.
The ornaments, yes.
Okay,
the
got
balls,
those.
Whatever.
Okay.
The presents.
Okay, now there's some pretty specific presents that they mention here. One is a very small bicycle that children ride.
Tricycle,
okay, so got those. And then another form of childhood games and transportation with wheels that's not a bike.
Wagon.
A scooter?
No, this is, something that you used to be able to put on your running shoes or put on
skates.
Skates,
yeah.
Roller skates, okay.
He steals their stockings.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Takes those. He takes some food items besides the roast beef.
Does he take the cookie and milk?
He takes the last can of Who Hash.
He surely does get the last can of Who Hash.
Criminal.
Then he also takes something else from the Who's. Now, usually, at least in my family, this is something that they soak in some kind of alcohol and set on fire.
Fruitcake.
And a fruitcake. It's also known as Christmas
pudding.
So the Who pudding also goes its way.
I remember these.
Something else that little Jack Horner sat in the corner.
Peas?
No, he...
curds and whey.
Not curds and whey. He stuck in his thumb.
Pulled out a plum.
That's it, a plum.
Oh.
And then there's one more that's...
Mixing my nursery rhymes, I think.
That's okay, but you're on the right childhood age.
Some sort of fish, right? Like sardines or herring?
No, this is something that somebody made the accusation one time that somebody was such a thief they'd take a red-hot stove. So I guess the equivalent of this would be something like...
The log from the fire.
The log from the fire actually did that. Yeah, that's
and he didn't even leave a crumb.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because right when the mouse is coming out of its hole to get the crumb,
he reaches
down.
And grabs that crumb. This is one
after
greedy...
he's lied to Cindy Lou Who, was only two, who was no more than two.
Two, yes.
You know, he could have worked for the IRS, I'm convinced.
Oh, man. He probably did.
In the off season.
Okay.
And his little dog, Max.
And I always feel sorry for that dog. I have to admit, that poor dog hauling that huge thing. I know,
antlers.
That first of all, those antlers.
Antlers.
Did you ever do that to your dog? Try to put them in antlers?
No.
Tried
in fact,
one time.
One of my
didn't work.
Pet peeves are people who try to dress up their cats and dogs. I think it's criminal.
Just, they're bored.
Well, there's that.
I like it when he first puts the antlers on Max, and Max sort of slowly sinks down because he can't raise it, so he has to saw off
I like when he goes underneath and is riding on the back.
In fact, he's waving.
Yeah.
Here I am.
That's a great series. Now, there are 10 top songs that actually have holiday songs that have the word Christmas in the title.
12 Days of Christmas.
Okay, that's 12 Days of Christmas, yes.
The Christmas song.
Yes,
chestnuts
roasting
up.
Yes, White Christmas, definitely.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ah, indeed, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
It's
Now, this was a very sad World War II song.
Blue Christmas Without You.
That didn't make this list, but I'll take it because, yeah, that's an Elvis, isn't it?
That's an Elvis song.
Yeah, okay, so Blue Christmas. This was a World War II song that had to be a huge tearjerker next to White Christmas, especially for soldiers.
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I don't know how anybody could have sung that, like, at a, you know, USO show without, like, just collapsing in tears. Mm. That's really sad. This has to deal with Christmas and dental work.
All I want for Christmas is my two
front teeth. Yeah. And actually, this song is kind of almost in the honor, at least the first part of it, to who sent in our questions today. This was
Holly Jolly Christmas.
Holly Jolly Christmas, indeed.
Oh, yeah, with Burl Ives.
Yeah. That's right, Burl Ives. The next one is, let's see, comes from, actually, Strange But True, from the film Meet Me in St. Louis. And it's Judy Garland singing this to Margaret O'Brien, another great tear-jerking moment of an MGM musical.
I don't know.
Okay. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. God. Yeah, there's that one.
We should just turn on WNIC.
Yes, you know? Which has already started its assault.
I know.
Oh, how about It's Beginning to Feel a Lot Like Christmas.
There we go, and that's the last one. It's beginning to look, yes. Yeah. Or that's where we need a little Christmas
we need
from Maine. But this is, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas is the other one. Yeah. Here, I'm not sure about the rest of the country, but here in the Metro Detroit area, pre-Thanksgiving, and in fact, even in the Thumb of Michigan, 96.3 FM started playing their Christmas carols already.
Since they're all owned probably by the same company.
I don't know about that, but I was just as surprised when I was hitting the scan. Yeah. I can't get Detroit Public Radio or even Ann Arbor Public Radio after a certain distance, but there's a Flint, and then there's Central Michigan also broadcast. So as I was scanning, suddenly this Christmas carol just came blaring out. I was like, oh, my. And it's usually an oldies station, so I was a little taken aback.
Just until, I think, last year, they only started after Thanksgiving, playing their 24-hour Christmas.
Oh.
You know, that's how I get through.
So to move it back to November 1st or whenever they started it.
Yeah.
That's how I get through grading finals in Term 1. I put on my Christmas CDs, and I have a mix of a two-CD set that's a mix of, like, the old classic crooners.
Okay.
And then updated.
Does it have Mel Torme?
Reckon
I? Yeah. Has Mel. Has
Bing. Hey, the Velvet Fog himself. All right.
You know, Ella Fitzgerald.
Karen Carpenter sings the best Christmas songs.
I love the Carpenters, actually. Yeah. She had such a beautiful
voice. Great voice.
Now, here are some songs that were number one on the Billboard chart on Christmas Day. So I'm going to give you the year and the artist. Let's see if you can tell us what the song actually was. This was by Elvis Presley on Christmas Day of 1960.
Is that Blue Christmas?
Not Blue Christmas. No. Yeah, some of these do not necessarily have a Christmas connection.
Dog.
I'm sorry.
No, that's too late for him, though.
Yeah. It would have to deal with the feeling of being... One.
Heartbreak Hotel.
Not Heartbreak Hotel.
The feeling of being
one?
Just kind of alone.
Alone?
Mm-hmm.
Not a Noah's fan here.
It's Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Yeah.
That's 1960. In 1961, this is a song by The Tokens, which is a song that has to deal with an animal in a jungle and has a very unusual chorus to it that a lot of people...
Oh, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight, absolutely. Yeah, I think that was a one-hit wonder for them, wasn't it?
Except, as we all know, lions do not sleep in the jungle.
That's right.
I tell my African history class.
But that's okay. The song just made it so cool.
They sleep in the savannah.
Yeah. Now, this is Christmas of 1962. The song is by The Tornadoes. And
another one-hit wonder.
Well, it's another one-hit wonder, but it was a song that was very popular, all instrumental. That was very much dealing with the space program and dealing with outer space.
2001?
No, that's too early way for early.
That is way early, yes.
Yeah, way early. And it's too young for you guys. Telstar.
Never heard of it.
It was done by
Howard. A few too?
I will at the break, which we're taking right now.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Sleigh Bell Orchestra brings us Ask the Professor. I'm your host on this Christmas program, Edwin DeWint, and today we have all of our regular panelists with us, gathered around the Christmas tree. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Sure. I mean, it's a great pleasure to be here, as always, and the top of the season to you all.
Yes. You're all right. On his
George
right,
George is opening all his presents.
I know it. That's his trouble.
Well, I mean, here we are.
Can't you wait?
The very day.
It's so greedy.
And we're on the radio.
I know.
You want me to have my mind focused?
Well.
I can't do that.
Visions of sugar plums.
Today.
That was Robert O'Neill from the Department of Psychology. And to his right, from the Department of History, looking very elfin, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Who wrote that? Oh, we're not into the
questions. No, not in the questions yet. No. And on her...
Most of the questions you hear on this program are asked by our listeners.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Hello, ho, ho, Edwin.
Oh, oh, clever. Our first set of questions are sent in from Neil Rifkin of Livonia, Michigan. Christmas-type questions.
Oh, good.
He says, I'll give you a country's name for Christmas, and you give me the country.
Okay, sweet.
Noel.
France.
That's right. Yule.
Jule, mm-hmm. Sweden?
No.
Norway?
No.
England?
Well, it's part of that.
Scotland?
Yes, Scotland, yes. Weihnachten?
Germany.
That's right. And
that
Navidad?
Sounds German.
Spain?
That's right.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's ask it again.
I mean,
I got all that. That's
it.
That was really
Bailey's Navidad. Bailey's Navidad. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
George.
Just a little musical interlude here.
And we're back here in Detroit with the snow gently falling and wonderful music. Thank you, Michael. And here it is, Christmas time in Motown. And we're back at you with some questions from Holly Berry. And again, these are Christmas questions, and they deal with music as well. We're looking at songs that were number one on the Billboard chart on Christmas Day year by year.
These are great questions.
Yeah, aren't they cool? 1963,
okay.
Sister Luc Gabriel of Belgium.
Dominique.
That's it. The Singing Nun. Yeah.
I remember seeing her in the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, who didn't? Yeah. Cause
she not that you saw much
of
her.
I was going to say, she's just like all...
Well, I wasn't born yet, so there. That's why I didn't know it.
Oh, well then, okay. On 1966, The Beach Boys.
I Get Around, Help Me Rhonda, Roll, Barbara Ann, Little Deuce Coupe.
No, those are a lot earlier.
In My Room.
No.
Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations, oh. Absolutely. Here's a little Motown coming at you. 1968, the song was by Marvin Gaye.
What's Going On?
No, sadly not, because that is a
heard
great...
Heard It Through the Grapevine?
Heard It Through the Grapevine,
not
absolutely.
Much longer.
That is a great tune.
And both his version and the Temptations version.
Yes, I was going to say, they're both good versions.
I had to play that in African American history when we talk about the slave grapevine. You know,
yeah, well, no lie, and why not? Peter, Paul, and Mary. This is 1969.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
No. We've been through that thing before now, kid.
We have talked about this.
This has to deal with traveling.
Could
you hum us a few?
Magic Carpet Ride,
magic
except
carpet.
No, that would be wrong.
Wrong
band.
I know,
yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Think about Metro Airport.
Leaving on a jet plane.
Leaving on a jet plane. Plane.
And,
absolutely.
And why they keep doing that on that Best of John Denver thing where, you know, here's a guy who went down in a jet plane crash and they keep...
Yeah,
and now,
I know.
Here's John Denver doing Leaving on
I
a
know,
jet plane.
I know, it's so awful. It would be like, you know, having something about ski resorts with Sonny Bono, you know? Like, could you guys please not do this?
Okay. Or let's recite Trees by Joyce Kilmer.
Yeah, it's so horrible. Billy Paul, 1972. This also
Billy
had... Billy Paul, yeah. This was a song about somebody and a married lady, a Mrs. somebody.
Oh, Mrs.
Me
Jones.
And Mrs. Jones. Me and Mrs. Jones. That is a great tune. Mm-hmm.
We got a thing going on.
That's it. That is a great song. Here's another artist, sadly, who was deceased, but Harry Chapin. This is 1974.
Cats in the Cradle.
Yeah, Cats in the Cradle.
That's a dumb song.
too busy for the kids to do.
Seasons
in the Sun.
No,
this has a lot more meaning.
That could be the worst song ever made.
Could be ever recorded. Yes, although there are some really bad ones.
I was going to say.
I'm sure I can think of more.
Yeah. 1976. This is Rod Stewart in
Maggie May.
Not Maggie May. I would have gone with that too. But
that's a little later, I think.
If you think I'm sexy, do you think I'm sexy?
No.
That's later.
That's later. This is early Stewart. If we can actually say that without choking, yeah.
Well. Stewart other than Maggie May.
It has to deal with a period of the day.
Good morning.
Not good morning.
Good evening.
Well, it's in the evening.
Oh, something with tonight.
Yep, tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night. Tonight's. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 1977, this is the Bee Gees, probably coming off a big...
Staying Alive.
Not Staying Alive,
night
but it's from
there. Night Fever.
No, this is, I think it's from the same movie,
I believe it is.
From the soundtrack.
Well, you had Staying Alive, How Deep Is Your Love.
There you go. It's How Deep Is Your Love. Okay, this is 1983, moving ahead a few years. A duet with Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson.
Oh, Ebony and Ivory.
No, it's not. This is a different tune that they did.
They did more than
one?
Yes,
they did.
More than one. And
You stole ownership of my songs?
My songs. You bought my song portfolio, and now I hate you.
And he does. I mean, he just thought that was completely
unethical.
Because
now we have to hear the Beatles music all over Target commercials.
I know, which is horrible. It's Say, Say, Say.
Oh, yeah, that's another awful.
Poor Dan, I'm bringing back like really bad memories here on the holidays for you.
Well, selling those songs for Target commercials. Like, do you have absolutely no sense of respect
obviously
for the history
not,
of music?
But I think people have respect for the almighty
for
dollar.
The money.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, using Revolution to sell tennis shoes? Like,
yeah,
what?
That's pretty scary. This
is
1984, Madonna.
Material Girl?
No.
Earlier?
Borderline, Lucky Star.
Who cares? Yeah, that's what my dad would have said.
Oh, if it's 84.
84. This would be...
Could be True Blues, so Papa Don't Preach.
No, this would have to deal with something that all fathers hope that their daughters keep intact.
Like a virgin.
There we go.
Truly one of the stupidest songs ever recorded, although Al Yankovic's Like a Surgeon parody of it is
hilarious.
Yes,
it's very good. You're right. Absolutely. I do like that. This is 1987 and George Michael.
Before
Wham, I guess.
You caught me in the bathroom?
Before Wham or after
Wham? No, after Wham.
Oh, after Wham. I'm sorry, yeah.
Faith?
That's it. It's Faith.
Take your finger off the edit button.
I was
going to
say Michael. There we go.
That song is stupid. Faith is a really good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, he...
Yeah, what happened to George Michael? What is he doing now? In a way,
he's in the bathroom.
Living in Britain.
He's wide stancing it, from what I understand.
Okay, all right. 1992, Whitney Houston.
Ugh,
saving all my love for you.
No, it's something that I'm sure now, if she thought about singing it to Bobby Brown, she'd be doubled over with laughter.
Get out of here.
I will always love you.
I will always love you.
Well, I think people attribute that song
to her when we all know.
It's Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton.
That's right. Who wrote it?
Yes.
That's a great version of it.
And twice had number one hits with it.
Mm-hmm. This is 1993, Mariah Carey.
Vision of Love?
No.
Which is the first song she did that was good. Yes. And I'm thinking, here's this woman with this amazing voice.
Yeah, which she does.
Doing real R&B and real blues, and then blah.
Yeah, what happened?
So probably something like Butterfly or...
No, this is Hero?
No.
So I got to admit, that's a little...
Everything after Vision of Love was blah.
Well, in 1995, 2 years later, she has the top number one song. This is Mariah Carey and Boys to Men singing together.
Was it I'll Be There? She did a cover of that, but maybe it wasn't.
This is Unbreak My Heart.
Oh.
She didn't do that. That's not Mariah Carey. It's Toni Braxton.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well.
It is.
Okay.
Okay. That wasn't a duo either.
Mm-mm. She did it. Maybe Mariah and Boyz II Men also did a duet of it, but...
Okay. 1997, Elton John.
That was the Princess Di song.
It is the Princess Di song, but prior to the Princess Di death, right? Because she didn't die in 97.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, she did.
Wow, that long.
Candle in the Wind.
1998, this is Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. Do you ever watch Kathy Griffin?
I love
her. I sent the kayak.
She's hilarious when she talks about Celine Dion.
She really does.
Celine. Oh, was it the Titanic song?
No, not I Will Always Live You. No, that's not. No, what is that? My Love Will Go On.
Oh, yeah.
Like this bleeding movie?
Like
whatever I hear, that's all I can think of.
Until everybody's bobbing like popsicles in the water.
I'm Your Angel. That's the name of this song, I'm Your Angel?
I can't say I...
Yeah.
Me neither.
But then I'm not a big Celine Dion.
I was going to say,
She's got
the
pipes.
The woman can sing.
She absolutely does.
Know?
She can sing.
Mention her name in Edwin's presence.
No thanks, please. I don't want to have to be mopping up Edwin as he spits up blood. That's just not going to work.
And she did this theme song for a movie called Up Close and Personal.
Yes, she did.
That Drew and I really like and consider like our songs.
Uh huh. No, so and the woman can. She's got pipes. I know she can sing, but it just seems like her material's kind of odd. Can you name Santa's eight reindeers, as mentioned in the Clement Moore poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas?
Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Dasher,
Dancer,
Prancer,
and Vixen.
And Rudolph.
Rudolph is not in the poem. That is correct.
Mr. Red Schnatz.
He's an invention
of
post-World War II.
Yeah.
Popular culture.
Yeah, Rudy wasn't there the first time around. He's sort of like Rudy Giuliani. You know, you didn't miss him until he finally popped
and
up.
And let me just say that I think making a mistake on picking your police commissioner is an error that's far more serious than, you know, choosing the right stationery.
Thank you. Yeah, Bernie Kerik hitting the pipes again. Ow. Wonder what Rudy wants for Christmas.
Well, I'm trying to deal with the whole, just the cynical nature of what Pat Robertson did a few weeks back.
Isn't it amazing?
What did he do?
I mean, here's a man whose whole political kind of policy orientation has been anti-gay rights and anti-abortion.
Yeah.
And anti-women.
Let's continue.
But then he endorses Rudy Giuliani.
Giuliani, yeah.
Who is completely the opposite of everything he stands for.
Sure. I mean, yeah. So you can't figure that one out. What are the 12 gifts that my true love sent to me over those 12 days of Christmas?
Lords a leaping.
Okay, we got 10 Lords a leaping.
12.
11. Drummers drumming.
12
drummers.
Ladies dancing. 11 pipers piping.
Whoa.
10.
We got, okay.
Five golden rings.
It's not five ladies dancing.
Five golden rings.
It's five golden rings, right.
Yeah.
Four
eight
common
ladies
birds.
Dance. Seven.
Three French hens.
Are you
two turtle doves?
I'm trying to do them.
Are you keeping up?
Yeah, I'm kind of. I'm trying to.
Partridge in a pear tree?
I got partridge in a pear tree, two turtle doves. I got the five golden rings.
10 lords of leaping. 9 ladies dancing. 8 maids of milk. 7 swans of swimming. 6 geese of
laying.
5 golden rings. 4 calling birds. 3 French hens. 2 turtle doves. Partridge in a pear tree.
Okay, you didn't get number 12.
12 on the 12th day of Christmas? Because that's the one you say the least.
Okay.
12 drummers drumming.
Here we go. It's drummers drumming. All right. Yes. Okay.
I think we need to have the 12 redneck days of Christmas. Have you heard that one by Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, I have.
They have about, 50 versions?
Cans of Skull. Or
yeah, it's like pretty scary. And the thing that's so sad is that it's so right. That's
I know.
How many? Oh, well, we'll have
what
to there with those questions from Holly Berry because we still got two more categories to cover here. But let me wish the happiest of Christmas to our panelist, Professor Finkenbein.
Happy holidays to you and yours.
And Professor Maggio.
Happy holidays.
And Professor Oljar.
Happy Christmas. I'll do the British version.
Do it that way, indeed. As the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the CST Studios here on the University of Detroit Mercy McNichols campus. As the Professor is produced, technically directed, and saved week by week by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Happy Christmas, peace on earth, and goodwill toward all.
Thank you for joining us for this classic Christmas show from 2007. We're back next week with another edition of Ask the Professor. Please plan to join us.